Welcome to What Your Therapist is Reading. I'm your host, Jessica Fowler. On today's episode, we are talking to Dr. Rachel Altvater, PsyD RPTS, about her book, Perspective, Contemplating the Complexities of Our Realities. Dr. Rachel Altvater is an award-winning pioneering expert, leader, researcher, international trainer, author, and supervisor in the field of play therapy. She is a licensed psychologist in Maryland, Washington, D.C., and Virginia, and she holds national certifications as a registered play therapist supervisor and certified clinical trauma professional. She is the owner of Creative Psychological Health Services, co-owner of North Star Creations, past president of the Maryland, D.C. Association for Play, editorial advisory board member for the International Journal of Play Therapy, advisory board member for Digital Play Therapy, clinical consultant and content creator for Cognitive Leap, and instructor for Hopscotch. Dr. Altvater authored the book Perspective, Contemplating the Complexities of Our Realities, published her research in the International Journal of Play Therapy and Technology Use in Play Therapy, and is a contributing author in numerous scholarly texts on implementing digital technologies in play practice. After today's episode, make sure you follow along on social media at Therapy Books Podcast to find out if there's a giveaway going on. And in addition, as always, the information shared in this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome back, listeners. Today, we are talking with Dr. Rachel Altvater about her book, Perspective, Contemplating the Complexities of Our Realities. Welcome, Rachel.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you. I was wondering maybe if we can start a little bit just about yourself.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny. My brain always goes so many different directions, how to actually introduce who I am. I'm human, right? You know, I like to just start there. You know, there's our personal side, our professional side, right? But at the end of the day, you know, I think I like to see me as who I am as a person, which coincides with the book so well that we'll be talking about today. But I guess I'll give a little flavor of who I am. I'm a licensed psychologist and I practice in Maryland, DC and Virginia. I own a private practice called Creative Psychological Health Services. We have two locations. We also provide hybrid services. So we offer services in a variety of states. I always like to say too, I sprinkle myself everywhere. So for those who are able to see, I know some of you are listening, some of you are able to watch, there are some dots, some little sparkles behind me, I feel like encapsulates who I am in a nonverbal way quite well. A little sparkle here, a little sparkle there. But yeah, like I said at the start, like just human to human, you know, I am highly sensitive, deeply empathetic and connecting individual. And I am so, so grateful to have landed here with you and all of you who are listening in this moment and appreciate your time and space.
I love that answer that you are human, just human. I think that's my favorite one. Well, let's kind of dig in. Let's talk about this book. Can you share with our listeners about your book?
Yeah. So it's called Perspective, Contemplating the Complexities of Our Realities. And, you know, I have a professional and a personal journey that led me to this book, but I will say at the start, I just had an idea and I went with it. And I love to encourage people to do the same. If you have an idea or a passion, something in life that you want to do, go for it. We get in our own way all the time.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
We convince ourselves that we can't do things. Some of you who are listening might be thinking, oh my gosh, how amazing. She wrote this book. Like, I would never be able to do that. Skirt. Nope. Like, don't convince yourself that you can't do something if you want to do it. You know, it's a labor of love, I'll say, right? It takes a lot of effort and energy and time. And when we are really passionate about something, we invest our time and space in it. So I just want to give that a little snippet at the start. Don't get in your own way.
I love that.
It started with an idea, right? So personally, I have transformed quite a bit as a human being and greatly shifted my perspective. I very much grew up with rose-colored glasses. I was shielded from a lot. I am privileged in that matter. And it's been really hard to unravel some of the frou-frou visions that I had that I absorbed. And I recognized that those who took care of me wanted to protect me from the harsh realities of life and what was going on truly, like right in front of me. But when I started to actually recognize the reality of life, it was a really hard adjustment for me. And I know that a lot of people have different experiences. Some people don't have the luxury to be shielded from the harsh realities of life and their experiences. So personally, there was that transformation process. My husband is my polar opposite. We're similar in a lot of regards too, but at the core, like we're opposites. And his perspective has greatly enhanced mine. I always say that his strengths are my areas for growth and my strengths are his areas for growth. So we've been able to really assist one another with our perspectives to have a more enhanced perspective. And then professionally, I am a play therapist.
Okay.
So ultimately, for those of you who are listening, if you're not familiar, if this is the first time you're hearing this, I primarily work with children and adolescents, and I incorporate play in our sessions because play is a child's natural mode of communication. And oftentimes kids lack the verbal abilities to fully articulate and understand what's going on. Developmentally, their brains just have not fully formed in a way where they can have an intellectual conversation such as we are having here. Mm-hmm. So by being able to utilize different toys, they're able to speak through their challenges in a nonverbal way. So part of the work with play therapy for the clinician is to try to identify different themes. From an outsider's perspective, it just looks like the child's playing. Right? Why do I bring my child here to just play? And there's so much beneath the surface. So I don't know if it's that I've been trained to pick up on themes or if that's just how my brain operates naturally or both. But I say this because this is an essential factor in all of my sessions, both my play therapy sessions and my talk therapy sessions, because I do also work with adults and you can incorporate play therapy with adults. I won't go down that path. That's not what we're here for, but I'll just throw it in there just in case. We're never too old to play. And I just started picking up on themes in the work that I was doing and recognized across the board from young children to older adults, the theme of perspective continued to emerge. People not feeling heard and understood, miscommunications, how people saw the world, trying to shift their perspective, right? If they look at a situation in a certain way and maybe they could benefit from looking at it in a different way. And I think therapists, I think part of it's training, part of it might be natural, are able to see a variety of perspectives. We really step into our client's world and try to understand their experience from their lens to the extent that we're able to, right? We have our own stuff that comes into play, which is also part of what the book goes into, but that's really what came up for me. Personally, my own transformation, professionally, themes, just perspective after perspective after perspective. And somehow my brain just computed that together, beep, boop, beep, 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 and said, this is an idea, let's go for it. And I mean, I thought, who am I to write a book, right? Like, and I thought, you know what? I'm just like everybody else who can write a book. And if there's something valuable, I think that I can put out into this world, I want to do so.
Yes, thank you. So when you look at this, well, I guess maybe, can we talk about that? What were some of the themes that you've noticed and maybe you talk about in the book?
How we come to see ourselves, others in the world. And I will say one of the biggest things is we learn about ourselves based on how other people tell us that we are, or the lessons that other people provide to us about ourselves. So how many times do we actually view ourselves inaccurately and we have no idea? We have become convinced by a certain position, you know, that we are this way, when in reality, we might not be. How many times have we been, what I like to say is the recipient of other people's projections? And what I mean by that is when people are operating in a certain manner in their life, they then might place some of their own thoughts and feelings outward and onto others. So for example, if I feel insecure about the way I look, then I might say that person thinks I am ugly or inferior, you know, inadequate in some way. That's a projection. That person doesn't necessarily think that, but because I feel that way about myself, I'm placing that onto the other person projecting it outward and then assuming that's the case. That's how they feel. So how many times as very, very young kids, as we are first starting to learn about the world, which I'm noticing so much in my child therapy work, do we start to digest messages from those around us? And then that's how we see ourselves. If a child is struggling in school because they have encountered a traumatic experience, and then they're having behavior problems, mm-hmm. and then they're getting in trouble, and then they're viewing themselves as bad, right? Then they have now attached this in this meaning, they have this internalized representation of themselves based on how other people are treating them or telling them about themselves when that's not really who they are. Mm-hmm. So that was coming up a lot. And even adults having a lot of wounded parts of themselves from younger ages, from life, right? Not just younger ages, but throughout life and forming that idea, that conception of self. So that was huge. And then also how we view other people, especially with social media. It's not the only thing, but I think it's a great example. We present a sliver of ourselves to the world. We try to have what's called impression management, where we try to like portray ourselves in a certain way. And people will see us based on what we decide to share. We really only see a tiny little piece of people. One of my favorite quotes, which I might misquote it a little bit, but it's along the lines of a different version of ourselves exists in the minds of everyone that we come across. Mm. People are going to see us differently. And that's going to depend on how close they are to us, what we choose to share with them, the roles that we may have, that they may, you know, just pick up on different aspects of us. So that was huge too. And I think those at the core, especially in my work in therapy, stuck out the most.
How do you suggest that people recognize that either in themselves or in their kids and kind of work with that?
Yeah, goodness. The first thing I thought is that's hard. That's not the answer though, but that's hard. I will say in the book, at the end of every chapter, there are some reflective questions. There's 5 questions that really help you start to reflect inward and ask yourself, who am I really? How am I seeing this? How did this come about? How did I come to this conclusion? And so that starts to help you delve a bit deeper into who you are and why you are the way that you are. Mm-hmm. So that helps. Because I would say we can have some introspection or engage in some self-reflection, right? That's looking inward, trying to understand ourselves a bit more deeply. But if we have these deep-rooted messages that are inaccurate, it can be really challenging to sift through it. Is this really my stuff or is this somebody else's stuff? Well, if this is the stuff about me that I have adopted from a young age, how do I really differentiate? So that's why I immediately said, well, that's really hard. Mm-hmm. But I think recognizing our own stuff, trying to not have our own ego come out, like if we're feeling defensive, pause and ask ourselves, what did this bring up in me versus maybe lashing out at somebody else? Having a little bit more insight, are my emotions starting to escalate? You know, what is happening in my brain? Where are my thoughts going? And kind of dissecting that a bit more might help us recognize where things are coming from. And really ultimately it's increasing awareness. That's mm-hmm. not an easy feat yeah. by any means, but I think that might be the direction to go. So those questions that I was referencing can be a helpful guide if you're not really sure, like, well, how do I engage in introspection and how can I ask myself some of these questions? Where do I even start? That's a great place.
I think too, because what this does is just, like you said, bring awareness to it, because we often can just go and have these thoughts and think that they're the way that they are. This is how it really is. But it's bringing that awareness of questioning, like, oh, I can actually question, why am I thinking about this? Or is this person really thinking about this? Like, I'm thinking in the book, you had like a situation, you asked, I think 10 people, right? What was it? Is like somebody was not returning their call or not, you know, engaging with them as much as they used to. And all of these different responses and how we could think it's about us, or we could think it's about them, or even a mix in between. And just understanding that some of our own stuff can come into that and play into it and get us really to kind of check, oh, it may just be whatever, they're having a hard time, or they're reaching out to this person because that may be a better fit. any of those things instead of just worrying it's you or you did something or, and then getting upset about it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Recognizing that default. How come I think the way that I think? How come I feel the way that I feel? And I always like to say, is this my stuff? Right? Mm-hmm. Is this what's coming up for me? Or is this something that's their stuff? That's something that they're working on. But yeah, we automatically default. So recognizing more, but what is our automatic default? Do we automatically feel guilty or responsible? Do we automatically lash out? Do we automatically assume the worst? Mm-hmm. Like, where does our brain go immediately? That can definitely help us figure out more of the direction of our mindset. And that's something else that's talked about a bit in the book is our mindset, how we are viewing life, how we are viewing the world, ourselves, others, just how we are going about our day. Mm-hmm.
In the beginning of the book, you kind of talk about some different theories. I was wondering if you can maybe, it's sort of like an educational, like, here's how psychology kind of works, I guess.
Yeah.
If you want to share a little bit about that.
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting. So therapy is not a one size fits all approach. Mm-hmm. And I think there are so many times where a person might go to therapy and say, you know what, this isn't really for me. And then forms this idea that all therapy is like this. Mm-hmm. Or there are some people who might go to therapy and say, this is the best thing ever for me. And then if they transition to another therapist, might have a different experience and say, wait, this is how I thought it was. And it's not quite that way. So I say that because ultimately what's important for everyone to know is that therapists operate under different theoretical orientations. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that is there are theorists, there are people in the field who have established these theories that say, this is the reason or one of the main reasons why humans struggle. And they look at it through a certain lens. So a classic thought would be psychoanalytic. If you think of Freud, I think that's a pretty common name and understanding. And so a lot of times psychoanalytic, psychodynamic work focuses more on childhood, right? Like what happened in childhood. And it's more than just that, but I'm kind of keeping it pretty brief and don't want to make things too complicated, right? Like, but ultimately people might believe, people meaning therapists who operate under this orientation might believe that that you are struggling because of some of your childhood experiences. Now that's of course not true across the board. So then there have been other theories that have emerged and other theorists have said, well, maybe let me take some aspects of this, but this is how I see humans are struggling. So I say this because your therapist will operate under a certain lens and think, this might be some of the reason why you're struggling. And it's important to know all of the different theories as humans in an easily digestible manner. So the book does that. It boils it down in a very easily digestible manner so that you can start to recognize a little bit more about how people, how professionals in the field, but how people, right? Humans, we're all humans mm-hmm. at the end of the day, view human struggle. So that you can start to see what you attach to. Like, oh, you know what? This resonates with me. Because I can see that maybe I'm having some difficulty because of this particular thing that's happening in my life or whatever it may be. Oh, this particular theory kind of attaches to that. So that it's chapter 2 and it talks just about different psychological theories so that you can start to understand more about your own psychology. And I think it's called psychological development, but let me just double check. Yep. The chapter is called psychological development and it is near the back of the chapter and it just breaks down some of the main core theories. It's not all of them, but mm-hmm. It helps you understand a little bit more about the human condition from different lenses.
Yeah. I just thought it was a useful tool because a lot of times people look for self-help books or understanding and it was just like a nice little snippet to explain like, hey, this is maybe some of the things that like your therapist or you for yourself can understand, you know, the lens that this could be looked through.
Yeah, absolutely. And knowing the different ones, because like I mentioned, when people go to therapy and say, well, this is not for me, that's just one perspective. And that perspective might not align with you. And that doesn't mean therapy isn't effective for you. It just might mean this is not the right match. But I don't think there's always that education at the start of therapy to really recognize like, oh, this is the direction you're going to go. This is how you're viewing psychology and perhaps some of my struggles. This might be good for me. This might not really align with me, and be a more of a well-informed consumer in your own mental health.
I totally agree. And understanding that there's this, and then there's different trainings and what that looks like and how it plays out in the therapy room is really important, that not everybody has the same trainings. For sure. Who is this book for?
Everyone. Really? I mean, it's for humans. I mean, it's like coming back to that. It's anybody who is interested in learning more about themselves and others. And ultimately, it's the main goal is to have a more cohesive perspective across the board. And what I mean by that is not that people are going to morph into other people's perspectives and to completely shift who they are. It's we have space at the table for all perspectives, and it's important for us to pause and really listen, even if there's someone sitting at the table with a completely opposing perspective. It does not make it wrong, even though it might align with our perspective. And by being able to enhance all of our perspectives together, the hope is that the world can be a bit more united and connected. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times conflict in a variety of forms, from human to human to like country to country, it's because of course, different values and different opinions and you know, there it's complex. Don't get me wrong. I know it's complex, and it boils down to differing perspectives.
Yeah. I liked that about this, because I think you said this in the beginning, I forget how you word it, but I sort of say that, you know, oftentimes we just, you know, we want to be seen, heard, and valued. And I think you said understood. And like, part of it is about doing that for yourself and understanding yourself, but then being able to do that so you can understand others too.
Yeah, absolutely.
What made you decide to write the book?
You know, my fully authentic response is I want my words to live on past me. And I feel like if there is something that I can instill in the world, I want to do so. Like, I genuinely wanted to do this to just get the words out there. Even in therapy, I tell people, like, just let the words hit the air.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Like, there is something about being able to release. And I mean, I know I'm an externalizer, so I like to get things out by expressing through words, through whatever it may be, right? I'm saying words because it's, you know, we're talking about the book, but I'm a very creative person. I love to get things out. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, if I have something in my brain that I think is of value to people, I want to get it out there, and I want it to continue to ripple outward past my physical existence.
What's one or two takeaways you want your readers to walk away with?
I always go with my brain thinks of first. The first thing is proceed with self-compassion. Genuinely, you know, we did not get to where we are overnight. We're not getting to where we want to go overnight. And every single step along the way is going to help us get to where we want to be. The other thing is align with your authenticity, right? And so part of this work is uncovering who am I really? How do I see the world? And making sure that you're aligning with yourself. We are very impressionable individuals throughout life. You know, we're constantly taught a variety of things from our loved ones, from our communities, from education, from wherever, right? Social media, whatever it may be. And just making sure that what you allow yourself to consume about yourself and about the world aligns with you. And it's okay to be different, and it's okay to not fully align with somebody else. That doesn't make you wrong and them right, or them wrong and you right. Yeah. It's just, that is what aligns with you. So that's where my brain went first.
No, I love that. And I'll share. I shared the whole story with you, but I'm not going to share the whole story with the listeners. But I definitely had a takeaway moment in this book, and something I was struggling with, read it, texted it to somebody else, like, oh, this is why. It was like such a big takeaway for me. So I definitely appreciated that about this book. It totally aligned with, you know, it was like the perfect moment to pick it up and read that passage. So I thank you for that.
Yeah. And thank you for sharing. And that actually just makes me think, I was talking to somebody else who was really connected to another part of the book. And so that's also what I hope, is that people get what they need and what they want out of this. And there's going to be something that resonates for you that might resonate differently for somebody else. And there might be another part that really sticks out for someone. My hope is that this gives you what you need internally to get to a place of connection internally and externally.
No, I appreciate that. It definitely gets you thinking for sure.
Yes. Good.
Well, thank you for coming on. And where can our listeners connect with you?
I have what's called a Beacons page, which Linktree seems to be a little bit more familiar to people, but ultimately it is a web page that has a bunch of different links on it. Okay. So you can connect to my social medias. You can see some of my other publications, upcoming trainings, information about my services. It's Beacons, beacons.ai/DocVader.
Excellent. Well, thank you. And I'll definitely link to that. All right. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of What Your Therapist is Reading. Make sure you head on over to the website or social media to find out if there's a giveaway going on. The information provided in this program is for educational and informational purposes only, and although I'm a social worker licensed in the state of New York, this program is not intended to provide mental health treatment and does not constitute a patient-therapist relationship.